Hey Joe.
Hey, how you doing, Rob?
I'm good. I'm good.
Good. Yeah, do you fight the Christmas shopping crowds?
I did a lot of it online. I did get out this last weekend, and I'm never going back.
Yeah, I got to go to the grocery store to pick up the usual, but I'm like, what time am I gonna do that?
Right, right.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, how we doing?
Pretty good. All right, let's keep going. You know, at work we gotta have to do the blanket, not politically correct greeting. So I'm going to do the real greeting: Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and Cool Kwanzaa to you here on Tuesday when we usually record. So this is going to be the last episode for 2020, and I got some really good news coming up at the end of the show. Our sponsors for our program. My buddy Josh Cohn's down there at Ray Skillman. You still have time if you want to upgrade your car this year. Give him a call. He can work you into all makes and models. His cell phone's 317-665-6559. Once again, that's Josh Cohn's down there at Ray Skillman. I give him a call at 317-665-6559. A place I like to go to is the Steer Inn. I just found out yesterday they're closed on Monday, so you're out of luck on Monday. I mean, everybody needs a break. They're open 6 days a week, I think. And they're at 5130 East 10th Street. They're on the east side of Irvington, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46219. Phone number is 317-356-0996. And it's basically family diner style. And if you're looking for, if you are looking for a pre-holiday meal before you get overloaded with turkey and ham, that would be the place to go. Once again, that's Steer Inn, 317-356-0996. Also, if you want authentic Mexican food, it's El Jorepo on the east side at 30th East Washington Point Drive. Their phone number is 317-898-3921. They have, my favorite thing at Mexican places, which I've talked about before, is tamales. They have burritos, enchiladas, tacos, margaritas. They've got stuff for the kids. They've got, you know, quesadillas, of course. And then, of course, they give you the complimentary nachos with the salsa. So if you're looking for authentic Mexican food, and who doesn't like that, give El Jorepo a call at 317-898-3921. And last but definitely not least, I took a buddy here last night. We were looking for some pizza, and we went to Giacomo's. Giacomo's Upper Crust Pizza, three locations in Indianapolis, the north side on Fort Bend, 317-896-4545. Greenwood, 317-883-8993. And I usually go to the Irvington location on the east side at 317-356-6612. I consider it gourmet pizza. You're going to pay a little more, but you definitely get what you pay for. It's really outstanding pizza. The big sellers are the Cheese Louise, which is five cheeses, Slaughterhouse Five, which is all the meats you can eat. And then they've got, if you're really out of the box on the pizza style, they've got pizzas with pineapple, the Miami and the luau. And then if you're really risky like I am, you'll get the shipwreck with shrimp on it. And it's very good if you want to try something a little different. So make sure you visit our sponsors, give them a call, check them out. And, let me know what you think. And I'll tell you what, if you guys want a topic, and it doesn't have to be sports, it can be whatever you want. You know, sports, TV, music, for our bonus topic, I'm going to switch it up a little bit. Email me. My email is realraiderfan80. That's R-E-A-L. Raider, R-A-I-D-E-R, fan, F-A-N, 80 at gmail.com. That's realraiderfan80@gmail.com. I'd like to hear your feedback on the show. And if you have any suggestions for the bonus topic that we do every day. So you guys ready for the sports recap?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a neat week, neat weekend.
Oh, and there's something else I want to talk about. I plug local stuff. I plug local Indianapolis products because I believe in that. And I want to help them grow. And you know, I'm not a drinker, but, you know, if Sun King would ever decide to sponsor me, I would plug them because they're a local company. But having said that, I got HBO Max for the only reason so I could watch the new Wonder Woman movie on Christmas Day. Because I was considering going to, and I want you guys' feedback on this, I was considering going to a theater to watch it, and everybody I talked to said, there's no way they can say that place is safe. What do you guys think about going to a theater to see a movie?
My initial thought, because there's been movies that have come out since then, you know, right before all the theaters even could be open, at work we'd have discussions about, I really want movie theater popcorn.
Sure, right.
And as soon as the theaters opened up, you know, a couple people did go to the movie theater just to get the popcorn, and then they left. But you know, it depends on how many people are in there. My personal hang up and why I don't go to places that are open right now is I can't sit there for longer than an hour with a mask on my face.
Right.
So that's my deal.
That makes sense. Scott?
I'm in the same boat as Rob. I don't like wearing a mask for longer than I have to.
Right.
Unfortunately, 3 out of 5 members of my family have contacted this disease in the past week. Oh. So, we're all quarantining here. So, Christmas is going to be a little different this year. So, you know, as long as people can do it safe, you know, I'm all for it.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked to several people and they said, because it's in an enclosed space, that they don't consider it safe. And I get that argument. But the other cool thing about HBO Max is they've got so many channels. And for the first time, my buddy's been talking to me about this show for years, but I just finally got it. Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel on HBO Max is outstanding. It's sports journalism. And that is not on, outside of maybe the Dan Patrick show. And I'm not a big fan of who's the guy that left ESPN for Fox Sports? Colin Hurd. I'm not a big fan of Colin Hurd. That's his name, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of him. So outside of Dan Patrick and maybe Dan Libertard, I think I messed that name up. There's not a lot of sports journalism on, and Bryant Gumbel, you know, I didn't watch the whole thing, and he totally nails it. So if you guys are thinking about, if you guys need some, if you're stuck inside, can't go anywhere, and you're looking for a bunch of entertainment opportunities for yourself and your kids, you know, HBO Max is going to have Wonder Woman, the Wonder Woman movie on Christmas Day. So there's my nice little corporate plug.
Well, that and to add on to that, not to derail all the topics we're going to be talking about, but what do you think about the 8th episode of Mandalorian on Disney Plus?
Oh, has everybody seen it?
I've seen it. I don't know if listeners would have all seen it or not, but my thought is that the last one? Is that the last one this season? Because I'm a little lost with it.
Oh, sure. I'll answer your questions about it. That's the season finale.
Okay.
What's your question?
I mean, where do they go from there? In my world, you know, where can they go from there? Because
Well, that's going to spin off the nine shows that Disney released 2 weeks ago.
All right.
Okay. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's where that starts. And then, of course, basically what I think's going to happen with The Mandalorian, it's going to be what happens with the series of what happens with the Darksaber.
Yeah.
And how all that plays out.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been on social media and I've seen some of the postings, and there was a person that said, I kind of slammed him. No, I didn't kind of, I slammed him. And they said, Disney saves Star Wars. Right. A Mickey Mouse saves Star Wars. And I'm like, and I came back and I'm like, oh, really? I thought Jon Favreau saved Star Wars. And you know, what I think is kind of interesting that nobody's really talking about. Everybody's talking about The Mandalorian. Everybody's talking about Jon Favreau. And everybody's talking about how great the writing and the directing is. Nobody's talking about episodes 7, 8, and 9 anymore.
Right. It was a nice distraction. And the thing with Jon Favreau, and it wasn't until I watched The Chef, and then all of a sudden Four Christmases is out now because of Christmas season. And then, of course, I saw him in Swingers,
yeah,
you know, way back when.
Right.
And I'm like, that guy is doing this? And because I hadn't put the two together. But, you know, as far as episode 8 this season, I know where the budget money went. At first, I thought it was the first one. But no, it was number 8 in one particular person's salary. So,
well, Jon Favreau is the bodyguard of Iron Man.
I'm sorry?
Jon Favreau, how he got all this connected, how the pieces all connected from Swingers and Chef, how that all connected was in the Marvel Universe, Jon Favreau is the bodyguard of Iron Man.
Okay.
And he directed Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
And that was a huge monster hit. So that's how that connected to
Disney. Okay.
And Disney owns Marvel.
Which, of course, saves Star Wars, evidently. So, okay.
Yeah. Well, Favreau did. So.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do any spoilers for episode 8, but if you thought episode 7 was great, episode 8 is even better.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's even better. So,
because it's one of those I did not see it coming.
I did.
Did you? Yeah, I didn't.
Because I read stuff that wasn't. I don't want to give that away either, but yeah. I did my background research. Let's just say that.
Yeah. No, I was sitting there. I was like, well, damn. So. I definitely wanted to talk about it here while we were on the topic of streaming things. If you don't have Disney Plus, get it and you know, binge that, because I would say, even if you're a lukewarm Star Wars fan, that building up to that last episode is, in my opinion, worth it.
Oh, it's a huge payoff.
Yeah,
huge payoff. And I mean, the only thing I didn't like this year about Mandalorian was episode 2. Everything else was a home run, out of the park, grand slam. But yeah, I mean, episode, and they have 4 or 5 directors, and for whatever reason, that episode didn't click with me. But the rest of the season's been fantastic. So
yeah.
But yeah, and I mean, yeah, I'm going to be watching a lot of stuff on HBO Max too, because they have. And the other funny thing I was going to bring up tonight. Did you guys ever watch Looney Tunes as a kid?
All the time.
Oh, yeah. All the time.
Okay, well, HBO Max, Warner Brothers owns HBO and DC Comics and Looney Tunes and Turner Classic Movies. So all that, and Sesame Street now. So all that's on HBO Max. And they've got all the HBO options, too. And so I'm like, hey, let's watch. I said, you know, I'm up late. I'm like, hey, let's watch a Looney Tunes cartoon. And I watched the first one, and it was Who Killed the Wabbit, the opera. I'm watching that, and I'm like, hey, that's funny, of course. And the second one I watch is Wabbit Season with Daffy and Bugs. Yeah. And before the show gets going, I stop myself and I'm looking at the screen, and I realize things have changed since I was a kid. I get it.
Oh yeah. Yep.
And I'm looking at the screen and I'm like, this can't be possible.
I think I know where you're going.
Okay. So I'm looking at the screen before I start the episode and I'm like, how in blazes is this PG? Because Elmer shoots a gun.
Yeah.
Well, hello, the kids are watching video games where they shoot guns. Hello? They're
playing games where they shoot guns. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So. No. Well, and where I thought you were going, because there's been something in the past year along those lines, but they were considering going back and maybe even editing some of those. To where instead of a gun, you know, in Elmer Fudd's hands, it's some other thing, like a, you know, a baseball bat or something like that. You know, it's like,
yeah. Because do you know the story about Speedy Gonzalez? This is a true story.
Go ahead. I do want to hear it, but just because of, this last year and all the correctness that is tried to come.
So Ted Turner got the rights to all the Looney Tunes cartoons. I want to say, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago, easy. And he did all the edits, all the politically correct edits on the cartoons, which I have the copy of the unreleased stuff. So I'm the unedited stuff. So anyway, he thought Speedy Gonzalez was offensive, so he chopped him out of all the cartoons.
Oh, man.
And the Latino community said, hey, we want Speedy Gonzalez in the cartoons.
Right.
So he brought all the cartoons back, and I'm like, that's bananas. So
when I was in high school, a buddy of mine, his locker's like two or three over from mine, because all the lockers had to go by last name. So
right.
His last name started with the same letter, so... I remember about our junior or senior year, and this would have been 88, 89, right around there.
Yeah.
He comes in and he's like, hey, look at this. And he had on sweats and he pulled them down to show like his butt cheek. And I was like, dude, I don't want to see that. He had gotten a tattoo of the Tasmanian devil on his butt.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And the best part about that was after we graduated and I think we had our 10-year reunion, I don't think he was there. But the rumor had it that he'd become a Mennonite. And the first thing I thought of was, there's a Mennonite running around out there with a tattoo of the Tasmanian devil on his butt.
With the enemy on his butt.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So, yeah, you brought up a good memory there.
That's funny. Because, you know, me and my brother would get up at like 6 in the morning to watch that mess. So
yeah.
On Saturday. Yeah, Saturday morning cartoons.
Sausage.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yep. Great memories there. Okay, the NCAA football scoreboard. I'm sorry, Scott. Clemson beat the Irish over the weekend.
Beat's a nice word there.
Well, I wanted to be politically correct for you.
not inflammatory.
Nebraska beat Rutgers. We talked about Purdue and IU getting canceled. Penn State beat Illinois. Wisconsin beat Minnesota in overtime. Michigan and Iowa was canceled. Michigan State and Maryland was canceled. And was this the for real Big Ten title? But Ohio State beat Northwestern.
Yeah.
And since all these games are forthcoming, I didn't do the dates and the times and the channels, but this is what the bowls of interest look like. And I don't have them all. I'm just hitting the highlights here. For the MAC, there's two for the MAC. It's Marshall and Buffalo, and Ball State and No, I'm sorry. For the MAC, I believe for the MAC championship, it's Marshall and Buffalo. In the bowls, it's Oklahoma State against Miami, Texas and Colorado, Wake Forest and Wisconsin, Iowa and Missouri, Florida and Oklahoma. Ball State gets San Jose State. Northwestern gets Auburn. Ohio State gets Clemson, Notre Dame and Alabama. And then Indiana gets Ole Miss. You guys have any I haven't seen any of these games. So you guys got any insight on those?
Well, I'll mention a couple things I heard in local media about, you know, one take from the Notre Dame loss was a homer crying about, you know, oh, you know, Notre Dame, you know, just how awful it was that Notre Dame lost. And I was thinking, dude, you're still in the championship. You could have lost all your games. You'd still be in the championship. So shut your trap. that was take one. My second one was an IU fan, IU homer on local radio, talking about how awful it was that in the history of I don't even know what, that a team with, you know, such a great record does not play on New Year's Day. And I was like, you're my opinion, they're totally overranked, you know, overrated,
yeah,
with this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, yeah, they won a lot of games, but to gripe about not playing on New Year's Day, they didn't earn that. So that was my take on that. Yeah, I'm here. Are you there? Hello?
I can hear you, Rob.
Okay. Can Scott or can Joe?
I'm not sure. Not good if we lost the host.
Yeah, that's not good.
Sorry, I'm back. I had a internet hiccup.
Okay. We were just talking about how great IU is.
Oh, it says we're all that out. So yeah.
You probably did. It's one long piece.
No, the internet went kaput. First time ever. So yeah, it's the Christmas gremlins. So
yeah, but yeah, no, I don't think IU. You know, it's great that they had a great season and good on them. And but to hear, you know, especially Notre Dame crying because they're still in the championship, yeah, kind of irked me a little bit.
Well, I mean, you know, all bets are off for this year. This is, you know, Asterisk City,
right?
So we'll see. Basketball this last week. Gonzaga beat Iowa. How good did anybody see this game?
I did not get a chance to see it. I wanted to see it. Gonzaga, every year we seem to think that this is their year and it doesn't happen. This might be their year, but Iowa is good too.
Yeah. Wisconsin beat Louisville. Is IU that good or is Butler that bad? IU beat Butler.
Butler's bad this year.
Okay.
They were missing their leading scorer. They got a few other injuries. They were playing a lot of freshmen. Butler's going to they got beat by Southern Illinois last night, too. So,
you're kidding me.
No, oh, wow. Butler is going to struggle this year.
Wow. That's bananas.
Yeah.
Purdue beat Notre Dame. Ohio State beat UCLA and Ball State beat Indiana State. Tonight's lineup, Nebraska is at Wisconsin at 7 on Fox Sports 1. LaSalle and Notre Dame, excuse me, I think I did that last week too, geez. LaSalle and Maryland at 7 on the Big Ten Network. The game of the week, Purdue and Iowa at 9 on the Big Ten Network. And today, Ball State beat Western Michigan. Wow. Playoff week for fantasy, man alive. I was 1-for-4 in the playoffs, but you know, I'm still alive, and I lost. I scored 133 points in my second best team and I ended up losing by 0.18%.
Ouch.
To the other guy. It was like 133.68 to 133.47 or something. And I'm like, yeah. So anyway, and the Raiders are done. Raiders are totally done. Chargers beat the Raiders in overtime. Bills beat the Broncos. Packers beat the Panthers. Bears beat the Vikings. Rob, what happened to the Saints last week? Besides the obvious Chiefs, but.
Yeah, it was the Chiefs. It was Drew Brees' game first back, and he's not 100%. But I think it was Tony Dungy Sunday was talking about, you know, if that's the game where, even though they're just coming back off of IR or whatever, and, you know, they're saying, I have to play, you let them play. Right. So he was rusty in the first half. They got behind. I don't think they ever got caught back up. But one of the things I did notice in that game, because I watched some, if not all of it, was there was a hit on Brees. And when the guy hit him, it looked intentional. He took his forearm and hit him right in that rib section where he'd had to collapse lung. And I was like, that's crap. You know, I know he has a flak jacket on and all that, but you know, it's just like, I know you try to hurt him, but you know, so I did not expect the Saints to win that one. They did not. I think I dropped them down to seventh right now. So we'll see if they, what they do in the next game or two.
And remind me, we didn't do the top 10 teams. So let's do that after our preview for next week.
Okay.
Titans beat up on the Lions big time. The Dolphins beat the Pats to eliminate them from any playoff possibilities. First time in a long time. Brady is smiling somewhere.
It was a good week.
Yeah. The Ravens beat up on the Jaguars. What happened to the Rams?
I thought. No, go ahead, Scott.
I saw several things on local Twitter after the Jets won Sunday, stating that the Colts need to let the Jaguars beat them so we don't have to deal with Trevor Lawrence in our division for the next 10 years or whatever.
Oh, geez, Louise.
I was like, are you serious? We're going to, you know, as good as year as we're having, and there's people advocating for us to intentionally lose to the Jaguars.
No, on the off you don't chance tank anything. That,
you know, Trevor Lawrence is going to be the superstar in the NFL or something. Come on.
No, no way.
You're actually going right where I was going to go, Scott, with that, because you remember week one, Colts lose to the Jags. Right. And everybody, or at least everybody I talked to, is like, it's one game. Don't worry about it. It's one game. Don't worry about it. Well, here we are. Okay. So we are looking at having two, not just, we're looking at having two Clemson quarterbacks in our division.
Yeah.
Within 5 years, is it? Yep. Something like that. And that ain't cool, man. So,
no. Not so much.
I mean, seeing how the Colts played this past Sunday against a Clemson quarterback, you know, there could be ripple effects. But the Jags, I don't know what it is. The Colts may lose legitimately if they do the same crap they did week one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true.
But, yeah, to that point, I understand. I think I heard somebody say it this way. Colts were one additional win away from not getting Peyton Manning, but getting Ryan Leaf instead.
Oh, I don't even want to. That's a nightmare right there.
So, you know, I get it. The 20 years or whatever that Colts football was actually legitimate, and if not, you know, bordering on excellent, perfect, was because of one game.
So. Huh. You know that story, right? What Peyton Manning said to Polian, right? Before he got drafted.
Uh-uh.
You know that one, Scott?
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay, I'm going to have to use this, my censor button. Ryan Leaf, I think, gets interviewed by Polian first and the coaching staff, Dungy. He gets interviewed first, Peyton Manning. I could still say this and get the point across. Leaf gets interviewed first by Polian and Dungy, and I think like the week before, whatever. And he was from Washington State, if I recall. Mm-hmm. And Peyton Manning was from Tennessee, and he interviews with Polian, Bill Polian, and Tony Dungy, and probably Jim Irsay. I don't know if he was in that or not. I would imagine so. Interview goes really well. At the end goes, Manning goes to them, if you don't draft me first, I'm going to come back here every time and kick your donkey butt every year. So they drafted Manning first.
Yeah, so, yeah, that makes sense. It makes sense.
It's not as funny with the censor, but you know. Oh, well.
You need to get a fog. Get some sound effects or something. You know?
Get away from me, boy. You bother me. Get away from me, boy. Oh, my.
But, yeah, no, that win by Jacksonville at the very beginning of the year, it just led. And how the Rams lost to the Jets, I will never know. Yeah. And one of the things they were talking about, was it a worse loss of the Rams to the Jets or the Colts to the Jaguars?
Yeah.
You know, which was the worst loss this season? Because the implications are huge now.
I didn't see this game either, but what happened to the Steelers?
Nothing but awesomeness, in my opinion.
So the steel curtain has become plastic, or?
Yeah. A lot of injuries, I think, Scott. Yeah. Yeah. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing coming from that, though, talking about one game having a lot of ripples, going into that game, if the playoffs started prior to that game, the Colts would have had to gone to Buffalo to play.
Yeah.
And now I think the way it stands, the Colts would have to go to Pittsburgh twice in 3 weeks.
And the Colts don't do well outside because they have a dome.
Or at Pittsburgh.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So we'll see.
So the Bengals upset the Steelers, and I did not see this game, so I'm going to be leaning on you guys because I was busy doing the family Christmas mess. Well, it's not a mess. I was doing shopping. The Colts beat the Texans, so the defense wins the day again. What else led up to that win?
Well, Colts got out to a big lead. What was it, 14 or 21, Scott, in the first half?
14, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, and then it just started getting whittled away. Colts couldn't come down and get another touchdown, and it came down to – finally got tied up. And with a few seconds left, a miracle play by Darius Leonard.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. Yeah. And I can't remember who recovered the fumble, but he knocked it out. So
yeah, we're glad for that. Preview for next week. I couldn't believe – there's two things I can't believe about next week, and I'll get to it. Do you guys ever – Christmas Day games are usually reserved for the NBA. Am I correct?
I was thinking about that last week, and then I saw that that's not going to be the case this year. I don't know if it's because of COVID and scheduling and whatnot. But, yeah, usually that's those are the marquee games, you know. Yeah.
Well, the Saints and the Vikings have a game on Christmas Day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which I thought was interesting. Yep. There's a three Saturday games. Let's see. I'm pretty sure the first one's on the NFL Network. It's the Bucks and the Lions. Buccaneers and Lions are up first on Saturday on the NFL Network. This one I do not get. So explain this one to me because I don't get it. I mean, I get it, but I don't get it. The Niners are at the Cardinals at 4:30 on Prime Video. They're on Prime Video. What is that?
Actually, Prime Video has – a lot of those Thursday night games. Also, if you subscribe to it, if you have Amazon Prime, you therefore by default have Prime Video. I recommend it. I have it. I rarely watch Prime Video for those games now, but if, you know, it's kind of like by default, if I'm not able to find it on any other of the channels I have, I go there.
Okay.
If that's the only place it's open. But yeah, Prime Video, if you have Amazon Prime, it comes with your membership. You just download it like you would a Disney Plus or a HBO Max or anything like that. And it's in there and it's live.
Okay. And also the night game is the Dolphins at the Raiders. Saturday at 8 on the NFL Network. And I'm going to go ahead and say this right now. The Dolphins have nothing to lose. I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it. Raiders lose this game.
It's a game. It's yeah. I think we talked a week or two ago about that this week was going to be huge. Colts, Steelers, Dolphins, Raiders. I can't remember who the Bills play, but it's somebody big. Titans, Packers. Mm-hmm. So yeah. This will decide a lot for, you know.
Playoffs. And then the Raiders have the Broncos next week, which, you know, that's kind of the throwaway game. The Falcons are at the Chiefs. The Bears are at the Jaguars. Rams are at the Seahawks, which is always a tough game. Giants are at the Ravens. The Bengals are at the Texans. And then the Sunday night game is the Titans at the Packers. The Packers are number one in the NFC, which I find interesting. Is the NFC that soft or is the AFC that good?
Well, I when I was looking at the power rankings right now, I couldn't figure it out. I think they had Packers definitely top 10. They had the Titans number 11. Guess where they had the Colts?
I'm listening.
Number 7.
Wow.
And I was like, no, I don't agree with that. I think the Colts beat every single NFC North team this year.
Right. The four teams, right.
Yeah, and I think they're soft. That's why I've been kind of on the fence. I've been on the fence more with the Rams, and this last week showed that, than I have been with the Packers. So if Packers come out and beat the Titans, they're at least that team's legit. There's some talk about the Bears still maybe squeaking into the playoffs. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah. But
that game will decide a lot for how strong that conference is. If Titans blow them out, then we know that it's not a real strong division.
That and the NFC East is a laughing stock.
Yeah. I still think three teams could come out of the AFC East.
Though. Oh, yeah.
I'm not so sure about that anymore with the NFC West.
It's a division matchup. The Bills and the Patriots at 8 for Monday Night Football. The Colts have to play the Steelers in Pittsburgh. That's always a tough game. I don't care who's on the field or not. That's always a tough game in Pittsburgh, and it's at 1 o'clock on CBS, and the experts are picking the Colts by a point and a half, which is a safety in my opinion. But what you guys' thoughts on that?
The way Pittsburgh played yesterday, I would say Colts by 5.
But that's not going to the Steelers are going to be up for this game. It's not the Bengals.
They have to be because they're looking at 4 straight losses.
So yes. They're going to be up for this game. I mean, I don't care who's on the field. I say Colts by 3. So
I hope you're right.
I think it's going to be a close game. Colts win it at the end with hot rod. So. So
that dude is awesome. Did you see who got picked in the Pro Bowl for the Colts? Hot Rod was not in there. I was like, are you kidding me?
No. So who got picked?
It was Kelly, I believe it was Leonard. Kelly Nelson, and it was Leonard.
Oh,
okay. I was getting ready to say that. Yeah.
Well.
Those were the same 3 last year, so there's not actually a Pro Bowl game this year.
Okay.
I would like to see DeForest Buckner.
Oh, I know what else I was going to add to this. Have you guys watched Peyton's Place at all on ESPN Plus?
The old stuff, not the new stuff.
The new stuff with Lynn Swan is hilarious. And it's amazing as well. It's totally fascinating. And it's funny. And it's amazing. So
okay,
it's pretty short too. So it's definitely worth watching. I don't want to spoil it for you. Still,
I think the last one of Peyton Place's I saw was where he was throwing the pass off the building in New York. I don't remember who the receiver was. Was it Chris Carter?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, they did so many takes of that. I mean, I was like, Chris Carter's going to get knocked out.
Right.
And it never happened. He finally caught one. So.
What's your top 10 teams this week?
What I had, and I think the top five were pretty consistent. I had the Chiefs, of course, then the Packers. Bills, number three. I actually put the Browns at number four now, above the Steelers, given Steelers' performance yesterday. I have Seahawks 6, Saints 7. I have Titans at 8. And then, hold on. Oh, Ravens at 9. So there's your three teams from the AFC East. Yeah. And then I did put
North.
The Colts at
10. You mean AFC North, right?
North, yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's a pretty good list. Are you guys ready for your top 10 upsets of all time in sports history?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, Rob.
Honorable mention, number 11. Have you ever saw the movie Cinderella Man?
No.
You have not seen Cinderella Man. I recommend it highly because I knew it was based on a true story, but my dad might have been born when this happened. He was a boxer.
Oh, okay.
He came from nothing during the Depression. And to get the title, to actually get the heavyweight title back then, because boxing was huge around that time. He was a 10-1 underdog. James Braddock won the heavyweight title over Max Baer, and he held the title from 1935 to 1937. So yeah, if you watch the movie Cinderella Man, it's definitely a movie about upsets, underdogs, and it's awesome.
Nice.
My bonus pick was the 1985 NCAA championship with number 8 Villanova upsetting number 1 Georgetown.
I have that much higher.
Villanova shot 78% from the floor of that game and still only won by 2 points. So.
Yeah.
Yep. I watched that one. It was I'm glad I was alive for that one.
My number 11 is John McEnroe beats Bjorn Borg for the Wimbledon title.
Good, good. Did you ever see a John McEnroe meltdown?
Oh, yes.
I did not ever see it live.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
In the 70s, it was even worse. Jimmy Connors and Eileen Anastasi were flipping off judges. So, yeah, it was even worse. So
it's when you had to, you know, get really nasty to get rid of it.
Right.
Now you can just, you know, I don't know what,
yeah,
show up and you go virtual,
viral,
virtual, whatever it's going to be. trying to be hip with the kids in the lingo. It's not working.
Oh, anytime I'm trying to be hip, that means you're over.
Yeah. I'm on the other side of middle age now. So I'm going.
I'm just kidding. Oh, my.
All right. Number 10, John Daly, 1991 PGA Championship.
Yeah.
And I believe that was here in Indianapolis.
Yeah, Crooked Stick, I think.
Yep, and that's where he made his name known. And after that, it was actually I've read his book. It's called My Life in and Out of the Rough. And if you haven't read that, I recommend it.
My number 10 was the 1990 World Series with the Cincinnati Reds beating the heavily favored Oakland A's.
One of the last times I was betting, yeah. I lost a dollar. Yeah.
I remember that day because I was a freshman in college. I just finished my first semester.
Yeah.
And a fraternity brother of mine was huge, gargantuan red snake.
Right.
And so I got to be his babysitter for the rest of the evening after that, that game happened. After that final game happened, it was a night. I remember.
Did you hold his hair up?
No, it never got to that point. It was just a matter of making sure he didn't pass out in the snow.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's one of them deals.
I got a lot of basketball stuff on mine. Mine is Cleveland State over Indiana in the NCAA tournament.
What year was that?
86. The Cleveland State Ghosts beat the IU Hoosiers.
That was the year before they won it all.
Yes. That
Yeah.
No, 85 was the season on the brink. So, yeah.
Right, right. But 87 was the Steve Alford season, if I remember,
Keith Smart shot heard around the world.
Yep.
Right.
Yes, over Syracuse. Yep. And that was the last one they ever won. So, yeah.
Yeah, and they were in the finals in 2002 with Mike Davis and lost to Maryland.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, oh, yeah. I actually had $5 on that game, and I was sitting around the table with IU fans.
Oh, nice. You were popular.
I was in the bar. I just won $5 because Maryland had won, and everybody's just down and just miserable and all this. I go, I just won $5.
Yeah, that was before Maryland was in the Big Ten. They were in the ACC.
Yeah, it was. Yep. It was. Yep. Yep.
Juan Dixon made the IU dust that game.
It was good memories. Good memories.
Oh my!
Well, and I call that season. I can't remember who the president of IU's at the time that was over IU when Bobby was fired.
Miles Brand.
But Miles Brand, yes, because I call that season the ultimate payback, redemption to IU for doing that. They allowed them to get into that championship, right?
Yeah.
And soon thereafter, Miles Brand becomes the head of the NCAA.
Which I don't understand for the life of me.
There's your conspiracy.
Yeah, you got it.
So, yeah. And
I threw away the helmet you sent me for the holidays, so there you go.
Okay. All right. I'll put more aluminum foil on next time.
Oh, my.
All right. My number 9, Purdue over Ohio State 2018. That's the Tyler Trent game.
Oh, nice.
He called it Tyler Trent. He's now passed, suffering from terminal cancer throughout his years at Purdue. And he called that game. And Purdue won. There's a book out about it called The Upset. And I thought since we were having this topic, I'd mention it. It's The Upset by Tyler Trent. And the good thing, in the spirit of Christmas, I'll throw it out there. He worked closely with IU Health, mm-hmm. Some of his tumors have been preserved to continue treatment for cancer research.
Okay.
So, IU's not all bad.
I see.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with the year 1990 here, and I am going with Buster Douglas's upset over the 37-0 Mike Tyson.
I have a much higher. Great pick. Great pick.
I refused to do anything with Mike Tyson, but I was eyeballing it. So I figured my Cinderella man was my nod to boxing. So I stayed with that.
Did you guys see where Pittsburgh defenseman Keith Green died at 58?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a shame.
I remember him playing. I liked him.
Yeah, me too.
Even though he was a Steeler, I liked him. He was good.
That was a shame.
He was real good.
My number 9 pick, George Mason over UConn. I want to say that was 06. So, in the NCAA tournament.
Was that in a Sweet 16
yes.
game? And did they get to the Final Four or did they only get to the Elite Eight?
I think they were in the Final Four with their coach.
Okay.
With their coach whose name escapes me.
I remember that one now. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. Scott, number eight, I had the 1990 World Series Reds over A's for reasons I had listed previously. I wasn't a huge Reds fan, but I remember that night.
Oh, yeah. I'll bet.
I've got for number eight, 2007, Appalachian State beating Michigan at Michigan in football.
I've got that too.
That's a good one.
Good one.
Yep.
I did an historical one here. Texas Western beating Kentucky for the title, 1966. You guys familiar with that game?
No. But any Kentucky, blue blood being beaten, I'm for.
Okay, Pat Riley was on that team coached by Adolph Rupp. And that was the first time that five African-American players were on the court at one time. Oh, and they beat Kentucky for the title. First time ever, 1966.
Wow. That's a good one. That's a good pick. My number seven is the 1983 NC State over Houston.
I'll never forget that game. I was a Houston guy, and I was like, no.
I'm sorry.
No, Hakeem lost. And that's when Hakeem Olajuwon won. There wasn't an H.
Was Hakeem the Dream.
There wasn't an
H. He was Hakeem.
Right, exactly. But there was no H at the beginning at that time.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Phi Slamma Jamma. So.
Yeah. Yep. Good stuff.
Number seven for me, Scott. I've got the 2008 Super Bowl, the Giants over the Patriots.
I'm right there with you, brother. That's my number seven, Giants beating the Patriots here in Indianapolis, right?
Yes.
Yeah, 42, Super Bowl 42. Yep.
Yep.
Which, I saw so many bandwagon people buying Patriots stuff at the Super Bowl experience. It just wanted to make me puke. I'm like, come on, really? Oh, well, yeah, they're so cool. I'm like, yeah, you're a Patriots fan. Get out of town.
I am seriously, now that we're on this topic again this week, like we were last week, I am seriously going to do some research and find out how many Brady Buck jerseys have been sold in the Boston area.
Yeah, several.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead, Rob.
Let's see. My number six is, and Scott, you'd mentioned this one as well, 1985 Villanova Wildcats over Georgetown. And I luckily, the next year, the Pacers drafted Dwayne McClain from that Villanova team.
Right.
And somewhere in my house, I have on a piece of paper, because my mom had met him through some training she was doing up in Lafayette right after he'd gotten drafted. Somewhere on a piece of paper is his signature to me, Dwayne, number 44, McClain. So, and he puts on their 1985 Villanova Wildcats. So.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah. That I remember that one, and for a lot of reasons.
I've got my next one is the NC State over Houston in the NCAA championship. Yep.
Okay. Good. We switched it up there. That's cool.
My number six. I wish I knew the mascot for these guys, but Appalachian State over Michigan in Ann Arbor. So I don't know their mascot. But
we'll just say it's the squirrels.
No.
Appalachian State squirrels.
Appalachian State is the Mountaineers. Well,
okay. It's close enough. Right. I was going to say squirrels. It's what's for dinner.
But... Have you guys ever seen Pulp Fiction where they have the Santa Barbara banana slugs?
You actually, if we were going to have a name change top 10, the banana slugs or whatever they were, I've always wanted one of those t-shirts, yeah. But that's a name I would change.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Right. That's a name I would change.
I think they changed it to the Banderos or something.
Okay. Well, as long as it's not like the rabid bananas. Fighting bananas.
Yeah. Yeah. Great movie.
It is. It is. It's a great t-shirt, too. I actually still want one, but yeah. Maybe next year. All right. Number five, 1954, Milan High School.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Hoosiers.
Yeah.
I got that one higher on my list, but yeah, I got that one too.
Wow.
Good. Good.
Number five, got a sport we don't talk about much, but back in 2015, 2016, over in the Premier League, Leicester City won the Premier League title. At that time, that would be like the Jets winning the Super Bowl this year. Nobody expected it. They were like 5,000 to 1 odds to win the title that year and everything. And they ended up winning it with a couple games to go. So, that's my number five.
Did you guys know that Pelé played in Indianapolis?
Yeah. There was a guy I went to college with. His thing was soccer, and we'd call him Pelé just for that reason.
Yeah. There was one year that Indianapolis had a soccer team that played against the New York Cosmos, and it was the Indianapolis Daredevils.
I've
never heard of them. Yeah. Indianapolis Daredevils, you said?
Yep. They were 19. They only lasted one year, 1970, and Pelé played against them twice. So they weren't very good.
Didn't Wayne Gretzky also
for the Racers? I believe,
the Racers. Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody else big was Lemieux maybe on them too as well?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yep. That rings a bell. Yep.
So yeah. My number five pick was been mentioned. Buster Douglas beating Tyson. That was. Man, Las Vegas must have had a hemorrhage on that one.
I remember it. I didn't watch it because it was back when you can actually do pay-per-view a lot easier now than you could back then. First of all, you had to have cable back.
Yeah, it was
then.
A cable.
Then you had to sign up. Then you had to get a second mortgage. and fill up your house with a bunch of people that pays $20 a piece to watch it. And, you know, it was just a headache. But
it wasn't a pay-per-view. Yeah. It was regular cable.
The only reason I remember that is a friend of mine from high school, he dealt in sports memorabilia. Yeah. And he would travel all over the Midwest, and that was his part-time job. Uh-huh. And, but he made a point to always get those, and he was the one arranging them. And so I was like, I didn't know what was pay-per-view, what wasn't. Yeah. And so, but yeah, he was big on that. And I remember that fight.
Okay. So cool.
I never saw it, but I remember.
Go ahead.
Because they won the most people possible to see that fight because it was the Tyson fight.
Right.
So
according to Wikipedia, which we all know is a reliable source,
not kind of like
Douglas was apart. Douglas was a 42-1 underdog, so you know Vegas took a hit there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So
number four, I wasn't around then. My dad wasn't around there. Around then, my grandparents probably were teenagers then. Mm-hmm. But I read this and. It's kind of in between a 5,000-1 and a 42-1. Mm-hmm. In 1900, a horse named Upset beat Man of War.
Yeah, I saw that.
Was 100-1 odds. So,
well, and they probably dealt in coins at that time. So if you put down a quarter, you know,
got a whole dollar, I'm gonna,
yeah. I got a whole dollar. I'm going to buy some sarsaparillas for everybody.
I'm going to eat like a king for a month.
Yeah. And buy sarsaparillas for everybody.
Exactly. But I never knew that Man of War, you know, you think of Man of War, you never think you get beat up by a horse named Upset. And it happened.
Go ahead, my number four was back in 2018 in the NCAA tournament. The first time a number one seed lost to a 16 seed when UMBC beat Virginia.
Right. Yeah. My number four is when Villanova beat Georgetown. That was unbelievable. I think the guy's name was Ed Pickney was the star of that team, and he was on fire. He just lit the Hoyas up that game. So,
yeah.
So, great game, great upset in the 80s. Go ahead, Rob.
My number three is the Appalachian State versus Michigan at Michigan game in 2007.
Great game. Scott?
My number three was the 1954 Indiana High School Basketball Championship, Milan over Muncie Central.
I can't believe I missed that one. Totally forgot about it. I was in a hurry. My number three was the Wolfpack losing to the NC State. Wolfpack losing to the Houston Cougars. And Phi Slamma Jamma. And Jimmy Valvano.
Yeah.
And if you've ever seen his charity special on ESPN, it's worth watching. So.
Yeah, this time of year, he's living on. He did great things then, and he's still doing great things.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm assuming all of our ones and twos are the same here.
I haven't heard him yet, so possibly.
I don't know. I might throw a wrench in that.
Okay.
Number two for me was Super Bowl III.
That was number two for me as well.
That's what I got. Oh, we're all tied. Yeah.
Wow, this is going to get this. So okay, I think we're going with number one.
Go with your number. What's your number one, Rob? Since we all tied.
That was my number one.
Miracle on Ice.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yep. Have you guys seen that ESPN special on the Soviet team? Oh man. Yeah, you need to watch that. Did they
go to the gulag after that?
Possibly. But yeah, you guys need to watch that. The way they were treated in America was unacceptable. It's just like unreal. So they're playing exhibition games and getting elbows to the head and high sticks at the head. And you guys need to watch that. I couldn't believe it. It's fascinating.
The call though of that we all remember. Yeah. Am I or am I not correct in saying that was not the championship? That was not the final game.
No.
That was to continue on. Do you believe in miracles? And there was still at least another game to play.
I think
play.
They beat Canada for the gold.
Right. Yep.
So. Yeah, that was semifinals. So, but yeah, I haven't seen the movie with Kurt Russell either.
No, I have not either. So,
that's supposed to be pretty good. Guys, what's your top three Christmas movies?
Oh God, don't do that. How about I'll do the antithesis of that, sure. And then if you guys want to do your top three, sure. I'm going to say the top three Christmas movies that I do not consider Christmas movies.
That's the way I am.
Okay. My top three that are not Christmas movies but somehow get in there in no particular order are Home Alone.
Yes, that's a Christmas movie. That
How
counts.
Can you say Home Alone's not
that's
a Christmas
not
movie?
Not a Christmas movie. But, well... It's not a Christmas movie. It happens during Christmas, but it's not about Christmas.
It doesn't.
It's a burglary movie. It's a burglary movie. Just like Die Hard.
Okay, Mr. Rob, Mr. Film Director. It's not a Christmas movie. Die Hard is a Christmas movie. That counts.
All right, I'm changing then. I'm going to go back to my favorite Christmas movies.
Okay.
I'm going to get shot down on 2 out of 3. That's bad. So
no, those count. Those count. You like them during Christmas time. That's fine.
I don't like them during Christmas because they're not Christmas movies. They're burglar movies. But anyways, top Christmas movies for me. I'm still a sucker for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Not a movie. It's a cartoon. I really do like, obviously, Christmas Vacation. Sure. And here lately, I've really started liking, the older ones.
White Christmas?
Not White Christmas. Like Miracle on 34th Street. Oh. Things like that.
Okay. And, what's the one with...
When you hear the bell, the angel gets its wings.
What's that?
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah. Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah.
Wonderful Life. Okay.
So, yeah.
My top three, probably Charlie Brown Christmas. What you got, Scott? Christmas Vacation and... let's go Christmas Story. Yeah,
that's Christmas Story is my favorite. Die Hard, and let's see what else.
You're getting cold.
Too late. I knew that already. Let's see. What's the third one? Frosty the Snowman with the Island of the Misfit Toys.
That's a good one too. That's a good one too. I'll go with you on that one. I was almost gonna put Elf.
I don't
in
think
there.
I've ever I haven't seen Elf it all the way through.
Oh my lord!
So it's
it's a most recent one, but it is. It's a heck of a lot more Christmassy than Die Hard.
Oh, yeah?
Or Home Alone.
You guys are sitting there arguing about Christmas movies every Christmas. My wife and I get into a disagreement about if... Are you guys familiar with the Christmas Carol, Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC? We always get into disagreement on if that should be favorite on our Christmas Carol playlist or not.
Of course it should. It's Curse 3.
She does not think it's a Christmas carol or a Christmas song.
Get over. Hey, well, okay. That's fine. You make two lists.
There we go.
List for her, and you make a real list for you.
Riddle me this then. Is it YouTube? Baby, Please Come Home?
YouTube. Is that on there? Please Come Home for Christmas, correct. Yeah.
Is that on the playlist? Because it needs to be. If it's not, my
you
my
guys
opinion
obviously haven't heard Christmas rapping by Curtis Blow.
And no, that's not on my list.
Okay.
To answer your question.
All right. Because if there is no Christmas rapping, there is no Christmas in Hollis.
This is exhausting. So, Christmas is exhausting.
You want to hear a funny story about Christmas? When I was a freshman for Anderson High, the colors were red and green. We get up to semi-state at Purdue at Mackey Arena, and we're walking around pregame. And the fans from Gary Lou Wallace were making fun of us because of red and green. They're singing Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells, Jingle All the Way. And I'm like, oh, that's funny because we're red and green. So that's that's my lame Christmas joke for the day.
The only reason I didn't put A Christmas Story in my top Christmas movies, I think that's, again, a lot more Christmassy than Die Hard or Home Alone. The main character in that, at the time it, really was hitting with us as kids, looks exactly like my cousin did at that time. And he evidently had seen that and was bugging his parents for a BB gun. ad nauseum, and they caved. Well, because he got one, I wanted one, and guess what? I did not get one.
Because you'll put your eye out.
So there's a lot of scars.
Your tongue will stick to the pole, Rob. Then you'll put your eye out.
Yep.
Okay, we gotta wrap it up. Thank you to all our listeners on Anchor FM, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Amazon. Also, thank you to our listeners in the U.S., Canada, the Netherlands, England, Germany, Ireland, Australia, Israel, Nigeria, thanks Anita, Botswana, Sweden, South Africa, Ghana, Costa Rica, and Singapore. Also, a huge thank you to all our listeners. You guys make it happen. Guys, here's the outstanding news. We have now hit 1,000 listeners for the year and shattered the record last week with 115 listens, which is almost like,
Merry Christmas.
No kidding. What great way to end 2020. This episode is brought to you by the letter U for Unity, Joshua 1, Psalm 91, and 1 Peter 5:7. We're praying for the virus to end quickly and the vaccinations to go safely. I hope you enjoy today's episode, and happy holidays. For Andy's Local Flavor, I'm Joe Carney. For Rob and Scott, happy holidays.